Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 3rd of October. John Quincy Adams, where have you been all my life? We all know a great deal about his father, John Adams, but thanks to a wonderful book that has just been released, written by Harlow Unger, we now have a complete biography, beautifully written, about John Quincy Adams. The obvious question, of course, is why he has been so overlooked. He was a brilliant man and a brilliant child as well. He served under Washington with Lincoln. He negotiated the peace that ended the War of 1812. He freed African prisoners on the slave ship Armistead. He served 16 years in the House after he was president. He led the anti-slavery movement, and we don't pay that much attention to him. Well, this hour will take care of that. And I also should tell you that we are in a pledge drive, and if you would like to, and I'm sure most people in this audience would like to know more about John Quincy Adams, that is our premium for this hour for $150 pledge at 888-202-2552. Our guest is also a fascinating man. Harlow is a veteran journalist. He's worked for the International Herald Tribune, for Canadian Broadcasting. He is a broadcast educator and a historian. He is a former distinguished visiting fellow in American history at Mount Vernon and author of 20 books, including 6 biographies of America's founding fathers and 3 other histories of the early republic. We'll be welcoming phone calls about John Quincy Adams. Our phone number, and we'd love to have you join us, is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. You can also leave messages for us on our Facebook page, which we will read, and that is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Harlow, good morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Kathleen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Where has John Quincy Adams been all of my life? Why have I overlooked him?
Well, like today's candidates, he believed it was beneath the dignity of a presidential candidate to campaign and to make promises he couldn't keep. So he refused to campaign for the presidency, and that's why Andrew Jackson beat him when he ran for re-election. John Quincy Adams was a very modest man who spent his life serving this country. He was one of the great patriots, and that's why I wrote about him. He was ranked first by John F. Kennedy in Kennedy's Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Profiles in Courage.
Yes.
He was, at first when I saw John Quincy Adams first, I thought, well, his name begins with A, that's why he's first. But no, the listing was not alphabetical. It was the listing was in degree of courage. And Kennedy himself, a war hero, ranked John Quincy Adams as the most courageous senator and congressman in American history. It was he who pleaded the case in the Supreme Court to free the 36 prisoners, African prisoners on board the slave ship Armistead. Some listeners may have seen the film. Well, that was John Quincy Adams who pleaded that case. He was one of America's great attorneys, and his plea won freedom for these African prisoners on the basis of a whole new legal argument that they had been kidnapped, that they were not slaves. They were freemen who had been kidnapped by the slave traders, and that they had killed the captain and mate of the Armistead legitimately, rising up against their kidnappers. This put a whole new legal complexion to the slave trade. It made the slave trade illegal.
Mm. And did he die in the House of Representatives leading the anti-slavery movement?
Well, he had led the anti-slavery movement during all 16 years in the House of Representatives. He actually died trying to make a motion to keep us out of the Mexican War. He was very much against colonial wars and tried to keep us out of Mexico and out of that war. He collapsed in the arms of his of a colleague and died in the House two days later. He had his 80 years spanned the early history of our country. As you pointed out, he served under Washington at the beginning of his career, and he served with Lincoln in
the House. Absolutely remarkable.
At the end. During his lifetime, he knew every important figure in the Western world: Lafayette, Jefferson, Franklin, the Duke of Wellington, Frederick the Great, Charles Dickens. He knew them all.
Mm-hmm. He was also brilliant as a child. I was interested to know that he was reading complete Shakespeare works when he was 10 years old.
By the time he was 10, he had read five Shakespeare plays, including The Tempest and King Lear. By the time he was 15, he had read Edward Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, Adam Smith's The Wealth of Nations. From the day he was born, he was the firstborn son of Abigail and John Adams, and Abigail and John Adams were extraordinary parents. They decided right from the day the boy was born that he should lead this country, and they raised him that way. That would be difficult for most people, but not for Abigail and John Adams. You know, everybody talks about the founding fathers, and they neglect the founding mothers.
Right, she was something.
Martha Washington, our first lady, was at Valley Forge the whole winter with George. Abigail Adams, our second first lady, was an extraordinarily accomplished, brilliant woman. And when she heard cannon blasts in the distance, she took her seven-year-old boy, John Quincy Adams, by the hand, and they walked up to the top of the hill behind their house in Quincy, Massachusetts, and they could see across Boston Bay and watch the Battle of Bunker Hill and the slaughter of American patriots there. And she took the boy by the hand. The patriots ran out of ammunition. She took her boy by the hand. They went back down to the farmhouse. They built a blacksmith's fire and started melting down her prized pewter flatware to make musket balls for the patriots. And she told her boy at that time, "If you do not rise to the head of your country, it will be owing to your own laziness, slovenliness, and obstinacy. I advise you to fix unalterable resolutions in favor of virtue, integrity, and unchangeable love for your country."
Oh, there's the way to be a mom.
That was a mom.
That was a mom. And tell me about, he was very young, and what was his job when he was in charge of getting family mail or family messages? He took a very dangerous route, 11 miles each way, when he was quite young.
Well, she sent him into Boston while the British troops were occupying Boston at the time. She sent him into Boston to get news of the relatives. Her husband, remember, John Adams, had risked death by going down to the Continental Congress. John Adams, of course, was a brilliant man himself, a brilliant attorney. He not only co-authored and signed the Declaration of Independence, he wrote the first constitutions for 9 of the 13 original states, 9 of them. And so he was a remarkable man, but by joining the independence movement, he would have been tried and hung for treason had he been caught by the British. So John Adams was a courageous man and a great model for John Quincy Adams, who himself then joined his father. His father took him at the age of 10, and they went to Europe, to France, to try to raise funds for the revolution.
And that was another very dangerous voyage. They both could easily have been killed.
Well, crossing the Atlantic was dangerous simply because of the ships and the seas and the terrible storms. But British gunboats were chasing them at several points and fired on them. And had they been caught by the British, young John Quincy Adams would have been impressed into the Navy as a cabin boy, and the father would have been hung from the yardarm. So it was a terribly dangerous voyage. But John Adams wanted to take his son with him to Europe to get a European education and to expose him to the world of international affairs. That's exactly what he did. They lived in an apartment in Benjamin Franklin's lavish chateau just outside of Paris. And John Quincy went to school, a private school, with Benjamin Franklin's grandson. And within a few weeks, he was speaking French. John Adams went up to Holland, and the boy enrolled in the University of Leiden.
Goodness.
At 14. And within a few weeks, he was speaking Dutch. Then he learned German. By 16, he spoke six different languages fluently, had studied classical and Latin and classical Greek.
Oh, my gosh.
Could read, write, and speak them. He was asked by Francis Dana, a friend of the father and a Harvard graduate who had been named American ambassador to Russia. He was asked by Dana to come with him to St. Petersburg because Dana couldn't speak French, and John Quincy Adams by then was fluent in French, which was the language of international diplomacy and the language of the court at St. Petersburg. So at 16, John Quincy Adams was the secretary of the legation, the American legation in St. Petersburg, Russia.
And they wouldn't let him into Harvard, but that's another story which we'll get to. I want to start my life over. I feel like I haven't done enough. Harlow Unger is our guest, and he's written a fascinating book about a man who has been called our smartest president as well as our most courageous, John Quincy Adams. We are in a pledge drive, and I want to let you know right off the bat, because many of you love history, that for a $150 pledge, we'll be happy to send you a copy that you can add to your presidential library and read much more about this completely fascinating and terribly overlooked president. We're enjoying this conversation, which will continue talking about John Quincy Adams and learning about this president. We need to take a few minutes to ask for your support of the programs that you enjoy. Wisconsin Public Radio, as you know, is listener supported. We are in our fall membership drive. Rhonda Fanning is with me, and we're asking for you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make a gift in support of the programs that you count on. Hey, Rhonda.
Good morning, Kathleen. Last hour, the goal was 100 pledges, and we heard from 128 listeners. So thank you for all of those pledges. This hour, our goal is to get 50 pledges by 10 a.m. Meeting this goal helps to make sure Wisconsin Public Radio has the money we need to fund the programs that you rely on. So please give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help us meet this goal.
What happens in the rest of the world matters, and that's why Wisconsin Public Radio is so important. We are unique. We talk with experts in all kinds of fields from all over. We get the news from around the world to our own backyard. And because you value being an informed citizen, please make a pledge to the station that keeps you connected, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time. A dollar or two a week adds up to about $50 or $100 for the year. And all year long, you're going to be able to enjoy the programs that you count on. The Kathleen Dunn Show, Joy Cardine, Larry Mueller, all of the WPR programs. So please make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
You, of course, have a strong sense of what it means to be living in the state of Wisconsin, and chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays and has played for your ancestors even a very important role in that sense of identity. We serve the entire state. You get news, voices, music, stories from around the state, and all of these broadcasts add up to a very strong sense of connection to place, to the state that we call home. Wisconsin Public Radio is a home that we all share, and it's funded in large part by listeners. Give now, please, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Rhonda Fanning, and we ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift may be $50 or $100, $150, which is important this hour, $500. Pledge whatever amount is right for you and go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge, in effect, says, I want more. It allows WPR to bring you more of the shows that you listen to every day. More of the Kathleen Dunn Show, more of the Larry Mueller Show. This is about bringing you more news, more entertainment, and more conversation. Because you do want more, give now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. And remember, this hour, you can get a copy of John Quincy Adams by Harlow Unger for your pledge of $150 or more.
And may I just say that it's a terrific book. I read most of it last night with my little doggy on my lap and realized I should have known more all my life about this president. And now you have a chance to know from an eminent historian. It's a very, very good book. We hope the programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio make a difference in your life, and we're pretty sure they do, because if you are listening right now, it's a good bet that you listen every day. During our fall membership drive, we're asking you to make a difference to Wisconsin Public Radio. Whatever amount you choose, if it's $150, we will be happy to send you this hour's premium. 888-202-2552 is the number, but all pledges, $25, $60, $120, $150, it all makes a difference in what you hear and look forward to every day. We rely on your gifts. Please, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pass the hat, pay the cover, buy a ticket. There's many ways to say it, but the request remains the same. Pay for what you use, what you enjoy. Do that right now for Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledging is easy. It only takes a few moments. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for how many pledges, Rhonda?
Our goal is 50 pledges this hour.
Okay.
And we've heard from 7 people. So
okay.
43 more.
We're moving along. Help us, please. Make our goal. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Remember to ask for the book, John Quincy Adams by Harlow Unger, with your pledge of $150 or more. We also welcome your phone calls this hour for Harlow about John Quincy Adams. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and you can leave messages for us on our Facebook, and that is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Let's go to a call. Wanda in, where are you, Wanda? Pewaskum.
I'm in Pewaskum.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi. Yes, I just heard not too long ago you guys had a John Quincy Adams story on the chapter of the week. And what I found really intriguing was how Abigail and John kept in contact when John had took his little John Quincy across seas, and how long the letters took to get from one port to the next to each other. I mean, when they were coming back across, when they were left France and they were coming back, she thought they died. She had gotten word that their boat had sank, and she thought they died. For 3 months, she lived thinking that her husband and her son had died. I thought that was just really fascinating.
That is fascinating.
And people don't realize back then how long, you know, you didn't get a letter for months.
Right. Harlow.
Yes. Well, the voyage across the Atlantic in those days was very, very long. It ranged from 30 days to 45 days. And, of course, what was unpredictable were the advent of storms in the ocean or the lack of wind. Sometimes the ship couldn't sail because there was just no wind to take them out to sea. So crossing the Atlantic was dangerous and totally unpredictable. It was a very, very brave man that crossed the ocean, and John Adams was incredibly courageous, as was his son, John Quincy Adams. They did so to serve their country. John Quincy Adams became, as a result of that trip, became the greatest diplomat and later the greatest Secretary of State in American history. As Secretary of State, he wrote the core provisions of the Monroe Doctrine. He was Secretary of State for 8 years under President James Monroe, and he had been asked previously by James Madison to lead the negotiations, and he did so successfully to achieve peace and end the War of 1812. So he was a diplomat, ambassador, American minister to 6 European countries, and during the in his life as in the foreign affairs, and became the chief intelligence officer. He spoke 6 languages, was one of 4 American diplomats overseas, but the only one who could speak so many languages and converse with so many different diplomats. As a result, he picked up a fund of intelligence that he relayed back to the presidents and the secretaries of state, and became the chief intelligence officer of the United States.
And yet he came head-to-head with arbitrary power, which, when he unbelievably was denied admission to Harvard.
Well, this was really the Harvard president who resented John Adams having written. John Adams had sent his son back to America to enroll in his alma mater, Harvard. And by this time, John Quincy Adams spoke 6 foreign languages, read classical Latin, classical Greek fluently. So he was clearly way above the average Harvard undergraduate student. And John Adams, his father, just wrote to the president saying, admit my son. And the president of Harvard resented that terribly and so refused him. Refused entry. So it took a year before he finally relented and admitted John Quincy Adams. And when John Quincy Adams finally got into Harvard, he entered as a second-term junior and finished his undergraduate degree in a year. So he was in and out of there very, very quickly. He finished his law studies in another year. He had his license to practice law, and then started writing these very erudite, intelligent articles on international affairs in the newspapers. They were so brilliant. Most people thought it was the father who was writing them, but no, it was John Quincy Adams. And as a result of those articles, George Washington, who was president by then, appointed John Quincy Adams at the age of 24 to be ambassador to Holland. And serve in what was then a key listening post in European affairs. He went on to serve as American minister in 6 different countries before returning to the United States.
Absolutely remarkable. Absolutely. Let's go to another caller, Connie in Portage. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I just tuned in, so I don't know if you've talked about the miniseries that won the Emmys of John Adams.
No, we haven't. I thought it was excellent. Did you like it, Harlow?
Yes, indeed. We're talking about John Quincy Adams.
Right.
I know. Adams. I also have his. I bought both series. I watched them over and over. I think it's so wonderful. But my question is, I'd like to know, they really didn't clarify this too much, how many years Abigail was in France with John Adams?
She was there for 3 years.
And let's discuss a little bit these separations that took place and the effect they had on children. John Quincy Adams was separated from his 2 sons for a long period of time. His parents were separated from him for a long periods of time as well. How difficult was that? How did they stay in touch, and how were they able even to do that, to be away from each other?
Well, it was very difficult, but these people were dedicated to their country, as few political leaders are today. They spent lifetimes serving their countries. This was absolutely essential in their minds. The Adamses were not alone in that. George Washington was away from Martha and his stepchildren and step-grandchildren for many, many years, on and off for many, many years. The same held true with John Adams, with Patrick Henry, with many, many of our founding fathers. They were devoted to this nation and dedicated to serving it during their lifetimes. So this was just part of life in that era. That was, and John Adams, that's why John Adams took his boy, John Quincy, when he was 10 years old, took John Quincy Adams with him to Europe. And the boy wound up serving the country as Secretary of the Legation.
Yes.
In St. Petersburg.
That was an important decision that was made, a difficult one, but it seemed as though that was a key decision to take him to Europe with him.
Absolutely. Well, he, as I say, he learned six different languages over there, eventually served in six different countries as American ambassador, became close friends with the Duke of Wellington, the Tsar Alexander, Frederick the Great, and improved American relations in Europe. He won recognition of our country from all of these leaders. He was such an erudite fellow that he impressed all of these great leaders with the strength and the brilliance of the American people.
He lived in such an amazing time in American history. He also left, what a rich source for historians, a diary, not just a diary from when he was 10 until he was 80.
Yes, he records all the, at the insistence of his father, he started keeping a diary at the age of 10, and he records all of the public and private events of his lifetime. The diary runs 14,000 pages. It's one of the great records of history of our country. First person history ever written. No one kept diaries of that kind. Many of the founding fathers wrote letters. Of course, we have their letters, but none kept an extensive diary of everything that was going on in their private and public lives. So John Quincy's diary is a treasure, which is in the Massachusetts Historical Society in Boston. You know, one of the great things that happened to him on his trip to Europe with his father when he was 10, Paris was the center of scientific advances at that time. And when he was 10 years old, he witnessed the first balloon flights in the world, both unmanned at first and then manned. And he just fell in love with astronomy as a result. So when he was in Congress, much later on, when he was president, but he succeeded when he was president, he became the father of American space exploration. He launched the first space exploration program, a campaign to build astronomical observatories across the nation. He called them lighthouses in the sky to link Earth and heaven. And the heavens with mankind. The Congress turned him down while he was president. But when he was in the House, he sponsored this program and eventually sponsored a network of about a dozen astronomical observatories. The U.S. Navy Department at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. He paid $1,000 of his own funds to build one at his alma mater, Harvard. And in Cincinnati, they built one on a hill that they renamed Mount Adams. Well, these lighthouses in the sky could trace the path of the planets and the path of the Earth in relationship to the sun and the stars. And, of course, they communicated with each other. So this was the first American space exploration program. It was absolutely remarkable.
We never think of it being that old. We also want to talk about whether or not he was lucky in love. He was a poet as well and wrote some poems, somewhat suggestive, I would say, to his wife that are included in Harlow's book. We are going to continue our conversation and welcome phone calls. John Quincy Adams is the name of the book, and Harlow Unger is our guest this hour. Harlow has written a number of books, 20 books actually, including six biographies of America's founding fathers. Our phone number for you to join us on air is 800-486-8655. We are also in our fall membership drive, and I know that a lot of us are pretty hooked on John Quincy Adams right now. If you want to pledge $150, we're happy to add to your body of knowledge about John Quincy Adams and send this book. 888-202-2552 is is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Rhonda Fanning joining me in our studios in Milwaukee, Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener supported. This is, as we've said, our fall membership drive. And you really are the foundation of our budget. I hope you know that. And it's why we're asking for your gift now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 25 more pledges in the next 25 minutes or so. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs you count on. Thank you if you've already given this hour. If you haven't, please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might wonder what your pledge pays for. Well, we have toll-free numbers so you can call in with your questions. We rely on newspapers, internet services so that we can research the topics of the day. All of these things and more have costs, and your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps to pay for these costs.
Giving takes just about 2 minutes of your time. You're going to tell us your name, your contact information, and how much you want to give and how you would like to pay. Consider using your credit card. It saves time, postage, paper, and it puts your money to work right away. No matter how you choose to give or how much, take those 2 minutes right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Contributing to WPR is like an old-fashioned potluck supper. Your contribution, your words, your thoughts, your donations added together with everybody else's create something that everyone can enjoy. So please, donate right now. If you can do the $150 pledge, we're really into history here. We do a whole lot of conversations about presidents. We went to Springfield. We went to Gettysburg and Washington. It's something that's near and dear to our hearts. So we would ask that you pledge, you history buffs, this hour, $150. Learn a lot about John Quincy Adams. 888-202-2552 is the number for you to call, or it might be easier for everybody involved if you just go to WPR.org.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I want to try to help people recognize the importance of Wisconsin Public Radio. They provide such a good, non-biased background for us to make our decisions by. We need to recognize that the newspapers and the television programs are owned predominantly from the same people. So this is one of the few sources that we have non-biased information from both sides. Look at that, and let's understand this little gold mine that we have.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Rhonda Fanning, who's got her nice Wisconsin Public Radio shirt on in our studio. And both Rhonda and Brett have haircuts. Go to our Facebook page today because I asked Katie to take pictures of them so you could see them
in
all their glory, I'm sure. Thank you for your gift, be it $50, $100, $500, $150 for you history buffs, whatever amount is right for you. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you find yourself asking, why should you give at this moment? It's because you're listening right now and you're thinking about it right now. It's the right thing to do, and you're going to feel good when you do it. WPR is an important public service, and you'll be making an investment in quality music, entertainment, news, and talk. We're going to use your donation wisely, putting it to the programs that you hear every day. Support the station you value right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Becoming a sustainer is truly giving the gift that keeps on giving. As a sustainer, your membership really will never expire. The monthly deductions from your bank account, charges on your credit or debit card will automatically renew each year. Thank you for automatically renewing membership, and we will automatically enter you in all of our statewide drawings and sweepstakes. Give the gift that keeps on giving by becoming a sustainer with a monthly gift in whatever amount is right for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're still looking for 24 more pledges in the next 20 minutes. Help us make our goal this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And don't forget to ask for the John Quincy Adams book by Harlow Unger, guest this hour, for your your pledge of $150 or more. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
And we're welcoming phone calls on air for Harlow. Our number is 800-486-8655. Let's go to Gary, who's been waiting for a while, from Ripon. Hi, Gary.
Hi. I was wondering if the author could comment on the supposed effect that John Quincy had on his two younger brothers, both of which, I guess, had their troubles, and one of whom became severely alcoholic. Did John and Abigail play favorites, and did the other two brothers feel kind of inferior to him?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, Abigail didn't play favorites as such. John Quincy Adams was first born, therefore he did get a great deal of attention until the next boy was born. But you said one of the brothers, actually both brothers, died of alcoholism. They both had terrible problems all their lives. But in terms of playing favorites, the second brother, Thomas, actually went to Europe with John Quincy on John Adams' second trip to Paris. He came back, and this time he took the second son, Thomas Boylston, with John Quincy as John Quincy's companion. And the second boy hated it over there, whereas John Quincy absolutely thrived over there. Thomas Adams absolutely hated it and went home. So John Quincy stayed over there with his father for quite a while. The youngest of the three wasn't even born yet. When he was born, he, like his older brothers, all three of them went to Harvard. Only John Quincy thrived there. The two younger boys did very, very poorly at Harvard. And the youngest boy, Charles, was drinking quite early. He was actually drinking heavily when he was at college and was the first to die. Thomas Boylston Adams died quite a bit later. He was quite successful as an attorney, and for many years he married, had children. For many years he ran John Quincy's private family affairs from Boston. He was a lawyer for the family and ran the family affairs, and then started drinking in his mid-30s and died not long thereafter.
Very sad.
Alcoholism was a deadly disease in those days because no one knew how to treat it.
Right. It still is a deadly disease.
It's still
isn't
a deadly
it?
Disease, yeah. But there are treatments now that were not available in those days.
Mm-hmm. Was John Quincy Adams Harlow lucky in love?
Yes, he met his future wife Louisa in London when he was actually between assignments. He had been ambassador to Holland and was now assigned to be ambassador to Prussia, and went via London, where he met Louisa Johnson, the daughter of the American consul in London, and they fell in love absolutely immediately. There were three daughters, and he, John Quincy, went to parties and danced with all three. The parents were hoping that he would marry the oldest, but no, he was already in love with Louisa, too, married not long thereafter.
And she kept having a series of miscarriages,
yes,
didn't she?
Just dreadful. A lot of miscarriages. Their baby girl died after a year. They lost another child in infancy. Of the three sons that survived, the oldest, George Washington Adams, died of alcoholism. Mm. The middle boy also died of alcoholism. The only one that survived was the youngest, Charles Francis. His children became a candidate for vice president quite a few years later. His children became amazing scholars, especially Henry Adams. The Adams family throughout, since the time of the founding fathers, has been one of the most remarkable families in American history. They have contributed scholars, public servants, jurists, diplomats to our country. It's an amazing American family. And as if John Quincy seemed to know that they would be a marvelous family, and he left these parting words to all of his heirs, not just to his son and grandchildren, but to all of his heirs. He said, "You must have one great purpose of existence, to make your talents and your knowledge most beneficial to your country and most useful to mankind."
Oh, my.
And few American families have really done that, generation after generation,
yes,
generation, as have the Adamses, who many of whom still serve this country, are outstanding attorneys, jurists. They're a remarkable American family.
Yes. I'm so glad you wrote about him. You also include some love poems. He was a poet as well.
He was indeed a published poet. He was a scholar in many, many areas. He translated a lot of, he was the first American scholar, English-speaking scholar, to translate German literature, and really was the responsible for German literature being passed into the Western world. He was renowned for that by scholars of his day. His translations still remain. His translation of Oberon is still the definitive translation. He was a published poet and wrote many poems during his fight for abolition. And they were published. His fight for abolition started when he entered the House of Representatives, and abolition was not a very strong movement in the North, but the South tried to, the Southerners in the House tried to stop his speeches, and they banned the use of the word slavery to prevent him from making motions for abolition. He got around it by reading petitions from his constituents, and the more they tried to silence him in the House, the more Northern citizens petitioned. So he really started this groundswell for abolition. One letter from Pennsylvania said, 100,000 Pennsylvanians are with you, stand with you. Mm. And they finally passed a gag rule in the House that kept him from even mentioning the word slavery or presenting petitions. So they violated the Constitution, and he fought that for several years and finally forced the House to overturn the gag rule and establish the principle of free speech in the House.
Was he friends with Lincoln, Harlow?
Well, it was very, Lincoln came in very, very late in his career. This was John Quincy's last term, and it was Lincoln's first term. But Lincoln rallied behind John Quincy Adams's fight for abolition. And indeed, of course, he gave many, many speeches for abolition, but in one of his speeches, he used the words that Lincoln would eventually use in the Emancipation Proclamation. John Quincy Adams really started the abolition movement by campaigning in the House, and the more he spoke, and the more the Southerners tried to gag him, and it was called the gag rule, the more Northerners rallied behind him. By the time he died, the abolition movement was in full swing.
You have written biographies of so many of our founding fathers. Does he have just an extraordinarily special place in your heart? Do you think that he was above the rest?
Well, he really wasn't above the rest. He certainly stood beside the rest of them. He was, after all, the son, the only son of a founding father to serve as president. He was not a founding father, but thanks to him, the principles established by the founding fathers. He carried them on and kept them alive. Many of the founding fathers were fought for abolition and emancipation, and George Washington being the first. George Washington, one of the famous letters, he said, "There is not a man living who wishes more sincerely than I do to see a plan adopted for the abolition of slavery in this country." But at that time, the English had passed laws making it a crime to free your slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So the Virginians who wanted to free their slaves were forbidden to do so. All they could do, as Washington did do, was to train their slaves, teach them trades, so that once they were free, they could go out and earn a living. But John Quincy Adams really carried on that fight and turned abolition into the great national movement that it became, and unfortunately led to the Civil War.
Yes.
He predicted that after,
yes,
after several years in the House.
We need to go at this point, Harlow, because we have to do our pledge drive. I want to thank you for certainly making my life much richer. I love the book. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I hope a lot of listeners will read John Quincy Adams.
Yes, I do too. Our guest, Harlow Unger, will have to have him on again to talk about one of his other biographies. If you can pledge $150, or maybe you can get together with some friends and pledge together $150 and share the book, we're happy to send you a copy of John Quincy Adams. The pledge number is 888-202-2552. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. At this very moment, we need 14 callers to make our goal this hour. And I would hope that we're able to do this with this marvelous discussion and with you. This program, I know, is worth a great deal to you, plus all of the programs that you hear, the Joy Cardine Show, the Larry Mueller Show, Ben Maron Show. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Rhonda Fanning is joining me here. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Membership Drive, and we ask you to place a value on all of the WPR listening you do throughout the year, and then make a financial contribution in return. Make your gift of any amount, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help pay for the programs that you depend on. And as Kathleen said, we're looking for about another 14 pledges in the next 5 minutes. So make yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation with Harlow Unger about his book, John Quincy Adams, and we will have another conversation with him down the road. Please take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours possible. Choose a gift that works for you. Make your pledge at 888-202-2552. Or simply go to WPR.org. And a reminder, if you pledge $150 or more, we will say thank you, and it will be something that you'll be thankful for as well, because the book is terrific. We'll send you John Quincy Adams, the book by Harlow.
When you listen to WPR, you can be assured that we always have your interest at heart. We can continue to serve our listeners and communities because of the support we receive from members, including the 550 members of WPR's 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members support WPR with a gift of $1,200 or more each year. To make this leadership gift of $100 a month or a gift of any amount, go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We've got all this fancy new technology, online streaming, podcasts, and a useful website, and we provide many ways to listen on demand. I know many of you use that. The services aren't free. They require, as you know, investments in technology and engineering. So your donation right now helps support Wisconsin Public Radio when you want it. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And
I do feel that it's important to give what you can to public radio.
It's really important to support this kind of programming. It's not available elsewhere.
It is a station that sometimes challenges my assumptions. I have found new friends that keep me really informed.
It's a station that doesn't always agree with me, which is what people seem to like to listen.
And I just feel like it's stealing to listen and not contribute.
I choose to become a member. You should choose to become a member, too.
And you can do so at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. How are we doing on the goal, Rhonda?
We still need 11 more pledges. You can pledge through the news to receive your copy of John Quincy Adams at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks to everyone who has already pledged this hour.
Thank you, everybody. And thanks for all of your interest in history, too. It's wonderful to be able to talk about these kinds of people on this show. Again, for $150, John Quincy Adams, you'll carry this hour with you for a long time. Great conversations are coming up. Thank you, Rhonda. Thanks to everybody who pledged WPR.org. Place to go.